G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Hallelujah. I'm going to talk about the balanced Christian life, and I've got a little PowerPoint, so Andrew will just get that up in just a moment. You know, life is all about staying balanced, hey? And so we're going to be talking about the balanced Christian life, but I want you to just think about this concept of balance and how in life we need to have balance. Think about your car. Your car needs to have its wheels balanced and aligned. And if they're not, it will cost you more. Wheels that are not balanced and not aligned will cause all sorts of troubles. Your steering wheel can end up vibrating and shuddering. There's wear and tear that begins to manifest on certain sides of the tire. It's not an even wear and tear. I wonder how many Christians are suffering from wear and tear in their own life because of a lack of balance. Your budget needs to be balanced. Unless we balance our budget, we're never going to achieve our financial goals, whether that goal is to go on a holiday or to purchase some big ticket item. You need to balance your budget. A person that can't control their spending is a person who either doesn't have a budget or their spending is not balanced. Children will often get out of balance. You know, like I think every parent can relate to that. You know, like kids don't understand balance. Like you give them a new toy, they'll play with that for 12 hours and not think anything of it, you know. They'll stay up all night if they can because they love it. You know, whatever it is, that something that's got their attention and they'll get into it. And as parents, we have a responsibility to bring balance into their life. Sometimes it's a matter of saying, hey, listen, you've played with that for long enough. It's time for you to go and play outside. You know, or sometimes they've played outside too long. So, okay, it's time for you to come in and do some reading or do some studying and bringing balance into their life. If we allowed a child to eat whatever they wanted to eat, they wouldn't eat exactly a balanced diet, would they? And so balance, having balance in our life is so important. And as believers, we're called children of God. So just like children need to have balance in their life, God, as our Heavenly Father, wants to bring balance into our lives. And we need to understand it. There's going to be times that we'll get out of balance. Even like what Deb was sharing this morning with communion. Sometimes you can get hard on yourself. And we need to go back to our dad and he'll say, it's all right, mate. You're doing all right. Don't get so hard on yourself, you know. At times we might get a little bit too lippy, a little bit too frivolous. And God will say, hey, you need to pull your head in, you know, come on. Just keep walking, you know. And so there's balance that we need in our lives, hey? But if we don't understand what it is that can bring balance into our life, then how can we have a balanced Christian life? And so I want to identify this. There's five essential things, five elements, I guess you could say, that brings balance into our life. And we'll get them up. Thanks, Andrew. So your relationship with Christ. You need to have that. That's an essential element if you want a balanced Christian life. Your relationship with the world. Your relationship with believers. Your relationship with your leaders and your relationship with your own gifts. And I want to go through these five things and just talk about them and just kind of, I don't have time to say as much as I'd like to say with all of them, but just give you a little bit of a summary so at least we can identify these are the things that bring balance into our life. Hey, so the first one, your relationship with Christ, which is highlighted there. You know, that's the foundation, isn't it? Everything else grows out of your relationship with Christ. If there's anything in your life that has not grown out of a relationship with Christ, it will lead to death. It will lead to failure. It will lead to frustration. You don't have to take my word. That's what the Word of God says. And you can try it out for yourself. It will. It will lead you to frustration and failure. And ultimately, the wages of sin is death. And so having a relationship with Christ and developing that relationship with Christ so that your work, your family, your spending, or your recreational time, everything in your life grows out of that, is something that will help bring balance into your life, hey? You know, there's two aspects to the Christian life. One aspect is what God does in you, and the other aspect is what God does through you. And when we're talking about relationship with Christ, we're talking about what God does in you. And if you allow God to do what he needs to do in you, you'll find he'll work through you. But too many Christians are looking for God to work through them. God, just use me. I want to do something. God knows the cry of your heart. He made you to do something. He made you for a purpose. And he wants that to shine. But the first and foremost thing, if you want balance in your life, is you need to set the foundation and allow God to do a work in you. To allow God to work in you, we're talking about the God factor, what Joy was talking about yesterday. Hearing from him. Knowing what he's telling you to do and doing that. You know, a lot of people want to hear from God, but then if they don't like what they're hearing, they want another opinion. God, I remember Clark Taylor, he was talking about, he was ministering at a home group, and it was just, this was early in his ministry. And he said, God, give me a word of knowledge. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, there's someone in you, there was only like half a dozen people in this home group. And the Lord said to him, there's someone in here who has a metal plate in their head and one of the screws in the metal plate is loose. So Clark's sitting there and he's like, he's just new to this, you know, and he's thought for a minute and then he just prayed. He said, God, give me another word of knowledge. He just thought, what are the chances of me being right with that one? And I think sometimes we're like that. We're not allowing God to do something in us, and then we're not ready for God to work through us because of that. And we get frustrated. Why aren't these things working? Well, Clark did actually step out. He kind of made every excuse in the book. He just kind of said, look, I'm kind of new to this and I'm probably wrong, but, you know, like, I kind of thought I heard that maybe someone's here has got a plate in their head and there's a screw loose. And there was a guy that stepped up and he goes, that's me. And he was actually scheduled to have an operation the following week for that. So they prayed over him and he never ever had the operation, hey. But we need to allow God to work in us in order to be used for God to work through us, hey. Allowing God to work in you is all about relationship. It's all about the development of your character. You know, your character is who you are. It's related to, like, what are the things that stir you up? What are the things that you value? What are the things that you have a conviction about? That's your character. And God wants to develop character in you so that you have strong values and convictions. You know what a value is? A value is something you're not willing to negotiate on. We've talked about some of the values that Joy and I had before we set up the church. They're things we're not willing to compromise on and negotiate. Now, a lot of people will say certain things are of value in their life, but you will only know what's valuable in your life through your actions. For example, if I took a survey and I said, you know, like, hands up if you believe Bible reading is a valuable thing, I think every single person would have their hand up. But how many of you have read your scriptures? And how often do you read the scriptures? That shows whether it's a value or not. You can talk it, but if you're not living it, and I'm just giving you an example. Character is all about who you are. And your relationship with Christ is what's going to develop that character. And do you realize your gifts, the God-given abilities that God's given you, can sometimes take you to a place where your character can't keep you? That's where relationship is important. Allowing God to work in your life so that those convictions and those values are settled and they're rock solid, and then you can begin to allow God to work through you, and when the pressure's on, you're not going to crumble and you're not going to compromise. But allowing God to work in you is all about relationship. It's all about allowing him to draw close to you and you drawing first and foremost close to him, and getting him to to talk to you about things. And some of those things that he'll talk to you about, you will make decisions in your life and they'll become a conviction and a value. A lot of people say they've got convictions, but they're nothing more than opinions. And there's a big difference. Some people say, yeah, I believe in tithing, but it's an opinion, it's not a conviction. Because a conviction is something you will never put down. An opinion is something you'll say, but you'll put it down when it doesn't suit you. Values, convictions only come out of relationship with Christ. Hey, it's as you come close enough to him that you can see his heart, that your heart changes and begins to reflect what's in his heart. And if we allow God to work in us, we'll find God will begin to work through us. Hey? And that's just, it just becomes just a byproduct, really, of your relationship with God. Hey, this is so important. Relationship is so important. Look at Matthew chapter 7. I'll just show you. Scriptures. Matthew 7, verse 15. Give me an oi when you're there. We need to allow God to work in us and then God will work through us. Here in Matthew 7 verse 15, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." What's it talking about? It's talking about someone who had not allowed God to work in them. So they had sheep's clothing on, but inside, because God had never worked in them, they were ravenous wolves. They had their own agenda. They'd say things like, "Well, brother, will you believe God with me? I'm believing for this." But all they're doing is just dropping hints so that maybe someone will do something for them. You don't want to live like that, hey? If God puts something in your heart as a faith project, leave it between you and God. Because there will come a day that for every one of us, there will come a day and a time, and probably multiple times, where no one can help you or I except Jesus. And if you don't know how to activate your faith in the smaller things, how are you going to cope in those bigger things? And you hear Jesus saying, you watch out. Watch out for these false prophets because they look like sheep, but inwardly they've never had a relationship with Jesus. And so inwardly they're ravenous wolves. How will you know? How will you know which one's the wolf or which one's the sheep? Well, the next verse tells us that. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but bad trees bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. I'm not so interested in what people teach. I want to see, if, number one, is it based on the word? And number two, what's the fruit? What's the fruit in their life? And that's an important thing because that fruit will indicate there's a relationship there. He goes on in verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name and then done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" These people are going to come before Christ and they're going to say, "Look at all the things we've done. Look at the people we led to you. Look at the miracles we've done. Look at the prophecies. And they all came to pass. Look at all of it." And Jesus will say, "I never knew you. You never allowed me to speak into your heart." What God does in you is far more important than what God does through you. Yet there's a lot of people that hang tickets and badges on themselves because, wow, they can prophesy and they can move in the gifts of the Spirit. Listen, we're going to learn that. We're going to learn about moving in the gifts of the Spirit. That's important. Hey, but let's get balance. And the first thing is your relationship with Christ. Because like we've seen there, here are examples of people who moved in the gifts of the Spirit but yet missed it. If God can use a donkey to prophesy to a prophet, had that donkey changed after it stopped prophesying? It was still a donkey. So don't get badges on yourself like, "Wow, God used me to prophesy." Hey. The important thing is relationship. Hey, you know, even we don't need to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, Paul talks about, you know, if, you know, It doesn't matter what sort of gifts that I have. If I'm not flowing in love, it's nothing. And flowing in love is all about relationship. Hey, well, how do we develop a relationship with Christ? We'll go to the next one. Thanks, Andrew. We can firstly make a habit of doing what he tells us to do. Hey, that's obedience, isn't it? How can you say you value him when you don't do what he tells you to do? And don't be selective in your obedience, eh? Refuse to get into reasoning. When he's talking to you about something, just do it. That's how faith works. Faith means you don't have the answers to every question. Faith means that you're stepping out and you feel a little bit unsteady because it feels like, it seems like, there's nothing there to step out into. That's faith. Make a habit of doing what he tells you. You will find he will tell you in little things. And as you make a habit of doing what he tells you in the little things, you'll be ready for the bigger things. You know, you can't raise the dead if you've never healed, been healed of the cold or the flu. Make a habit of being obedient in the small things and you'll find you'll go to higher levels. Secondly, developing your relationship with Christ, dialogue with him regularly. That's talking about prayer. Now notice I said dialogue because it's more than a one-way thing. Prayer is not just about you telling God. What can you tell God? I mean, think about it. He knows the inner counsels of your heart. And yet how many times do we make the mistake of spending the majority of time of our time talking to God? This is one of the keys that I've learned. When I'm with someone that has gone further than me, I shut my mouth. I don't want to talk. I want to hear. I don't care if they think I'm an idiot. I might just sit there and smile. No, I'm not talking because I don't want to dominate conversation. I want to hear from them. I might ask a question. Dialogue with him. Acknowledge his presence. Acknowledge his goodness, his mercy, his faithfulness. You know why a lot of people feel down? Is because they forget about all the good things God's done. Just think about God. Just thank you. Man, I remember that answer to prayer and you did this and you did that and you did this and just begin to name them. And soon it just peps you up. Man, if you did it for me back all those times, you're doing it for me right now. Dialogue with it. Acknowledge. You know, I remember Jim Williams, great man of God. He would say, atmosphere is created by whatever you acknowledge. Atmosphere is created by whatever you acknowledge. If you acknowledge problems, you will create a problem-filled atmosphere. If you acknowledge fear, you will create a fear-filled atmosphere. If you acknowledge the presence of God, you acknowledge the goodness of God, you acknowledge the victory that you have in Jesus, you create a victory-filled atmosphere. Talk to him. Talk to him about your day. Talk to him about what's going on. Talk to him about what you're doing. God, give me understanding. What does this mean? Talk to him about it. If you can't remember something, say, Holy Spirit, help me to remember that. You may not get it straight away, but the more you practice dialoguing with him, the more quickly you'll start tuning into him, hey? And pray in the Spirit. You know, when you pray in the Spirit, you're not speaking to men. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 14. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. So how do we develop our relationship with God? By dialoguing with him regularly. And the third thing is take time to imagine what it would look like if his promises for you came to pass. That's what the Bible calls meditation. What promises has he given you? Meditation is not sitting cross-legged, I should say, and putting a dot on your head. And you know, meditation is just take the time to think about what would it look like when this promise manifests in my life and just have a party. Man, God, this is awesome. And allow yourself to feel what that would feel like. That's why God gave us an imagination, is to do those things so we can spend time seeing things from his perspective rather than from the devil's perspective and the world's perspective. And number four, to develop a relationship with Christ, develop a grateful heart. That's thanksgiving, hey? And we've said some things about that. All right, so that's number one. We'll go to the next one. Thanks, Andrew. If you want balance in your life, it's not just about your relationship with Christ, but it's also the second one, your relationship with the world. Hey. You know, Jesus said we are in the world, but we're not of the world. Hey. He's placed us here. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Why didn't God just take you away the moment you got born again? If it was all about just going to heaven, as soon as we got born again, surely he would just take us. Obviously, it's more than just going to heaven. Heaven's awesome. But it's more than that. There's a mission. There's a purpose. There are things, you know, we were created for God's glory, but there's also tasks that he's created you and I to accomplish. And he set rewards for you and I from the foundation of the earth for us to enter into. And to understand that there is a world out here that is dying and is lost and is groping in the darkness, and having the compassion of Christ, that's an important thing that brings balance. If all you're doing is having a relationship with Christ and nothing else, and you're not considering that your neighbor may be going to hell, you're out of balance. Your relationship with the world balances your relationship with Christ. Don't talk and think and act as if what you're doing right now in your life is all you will do for all eternity. In fact, a good gauge to think about, what are you investing your time in? Think about, what do you do? What do you do in your spare time? Think about some of those things and think about, how important will this be in 12 months' time? That gives you a bit of an idea of what you're investing your time in, and does it have a long-term benefit? That's still not in terms of eternity, but it gives you a bit of an insight. There's a reason that God's put you here on the earth. There's a reason that you were born at this time. There's a reason that you belong to the family of God right now. And unless we begin to understand, God, there's a greater purpose. It's not just about me prospering and me being healed. Yes, God wants you to enjoy those things. But there are others as a result of that that I can impact. People in my family, people in my neighborhood, people in my workplace. God, yes, God wants us to know him, but he also wants us to make him known. Do I hear an amen? You know, as your relationship with Christ flourishes, you will find what also will flourish is a desire to share him with others. You just can't help it. As it just begins to grow in you, the more he gives you revelation, it's like, man, I got to talk to someone. I just got to share this with someone. And that's a good indicator of the depth of your relationship with Jesus. If that desire is not really beginning to bubble up, you're probably not very deep in your relationship with Christ. Go deeper. Don't just stay at the surface, hey? The deeper you go with Jesus, the more you'll become aware of his heart, and the more his heart will be reflected in your life, hey? If there's no desire to talk with him about others, then you're more aware of the opinions of others rather than what Jesus has to say about it. The more we become aware of what Jesus thinks and feels, the more you will speak in righteousness. Hey? You think about it. Jesus wasn't always gentle and loving and meek and mild. There were times he said some strong things to people. Could it be that God will want you to be like Jesus, like that, with some people? And if you've never been like that, I would suggest that you haven't really gone deeper with Christ. There will be times that you will say something strong and be unapologetic. And it could cause someone to get offended. Could be a family member. Could be a work associate. As you develop your relationship with Christ, you will find that that will happen. Now listen, we walk in love. You don't do it to go get back. You don't go and just spray out on someone and just go, yeah, been waiting for that one. No, as you develop that heart of Christ, you will find you will say some things, and later you'll be going and saying, God, did I get it right? And you hear him say, you did, you got it right. Because your heart is like, I don't want to hurt them, but I know that they needed it. Your relationship with the world. Hey, there are people around us that are dying without Christ, hey, and we've got the answer. People around us who are losing hope. Don't let the masks fool you. People wear masks, don't they? Hey, they act one way. But, you know, you could see that mask just fall off by just being the person God wants you to be and just allowing that life of Christ to radiate out. I've seen that happen so many times. People just, they want to take the mask off. They're just so afraid that someone won't accept them. They're so afraid of rejection, they keep the mask on. But the moment they see someone who's authentic, even if they're a non-Christian, authenticity is a wonderfully attractive thing. The moment they see someone, this guy's real, they'll start taking the mask off. Hey. And they'll start opening up to you. You know, we want to see this area of our lives come into balance. Hey, I feel like there's a lot of, even here in our church, I feel like there's a desire that people have to share Christ, but at times there's a frustration to know, well, how do I do that? And so we want to be addressing that, particularly, well, it'll be ongoing, but I'll be doing some stuff later in the year where we're going to be looking at that to really get you better equipped in being able to share your faith, because this brings balance in the world. But there's something that we want to do right now. Anthony, if you've got those cards, we've got these cards, and Anthony's going to give you just a couple each. They are called Random Acts of Kindness cards. And it's basically the card is just an opportunity for you, if the Holy Spirit puts on your heart to do something to bless someone, you can then, you don't even have to go and tell them who you are. You can just pass this card on through someone else. Go and do the deed and pass this card on. And I think the card basically says you've just been touched by a random act of kindness from someone from Transformers Christian Church. And the back of it has got the details of our church and where we meet and stuff. But they don't have to come. There's no demand there for them to come. It's for them to understand that there is a church in their community that has understood some things about the love of God and wants to spread that out to others. Can I grab one of those, Anthony? Let's grab one. Thank you. What do you think of them? Look pretty good, eh? So, you know, like here's some ideas of what you could do with this card. It could be that you're lined up to pay for your shopping and the Lord puts on your heart to pay for the person behind you to pay some shopping. Now, you don't have to necessarily pay for all their shopping. It could be God puts on your heart to put $20 towards their shopping or $50, whatever it is. And so you can just go to the cashier when you finish paying for yours and just say, here's $20 and here's a card. Can you put that towards the person behind me? And then just move on. Or whether you're at a coffee shop having coffee with someone and you see another table and God puts on your heart to contribute towards that. I'm sure the Holy Spirit will give you other ideas. They're just some suggestions. But these are things, because to have a relationship with the world and understand what God's heart is for the world brings balance into our life. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Number three. It's not just about having relationship with Christ and with the world, but also our relationship with believers. You know, Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. I love the Message translation. It says, you use steel to sharpen steel, and one friend sharpens another. Your relationship with believers is all about getting amongst people of like faith and sharing your heart and hearing their heart, and there's things that they will share with you that'll just like, whoa, that's awesome. It could have been something that they were journaling over and they share it with you, or something that they were, when they were at work, God showed them something, or an experience they had, and they'll share it with you, but they don't realize they're ministering to you. And iron is sharpening iron, or you've got something. Could have been watching the broadcast and you had a thought and you shared it. I remember I was talking with a pastor one time, and there was this revelation that God had given me about how this universe is designed. This universe is voice activated. Hey, and I'd been meditating on that. And I caught up with this pastor and he said, so what's been happening? And I said, oh man, I said, God's been talking to me about something. And he said, what is it? And I said, this is a voice activated universe. He started laughing and laughing and like for 10 minutes I got a bit uncomfortable. Like, I started laughing and I'm thinking, it's not that funny, mate. But he wasn't laughing at me. He was, because it just did something to him. And he was just laughing and laughing. A little later, I caught up with a chaplain like a couple of weeks later. He goes, what'd you do to so-and-so? And I said, what? He can't stop talking about he had caught up with you and you told him something. I said, oh, is he still on about that? As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. If you want to have balance in your life, it's not just about your relationship with Christ or even with the world. It's your relationship side to side with your fellow believers. That's where home group comes in, hey? Where we can begin to build one another up and have an intentional time where we share our heart one with another and look at the scriptures. You know, there's a phrase that says, no man is an island, isn't it? And how true is that, hey? We're not designed to do life on our own. Yet we live in a society that encourages isolationism. We struggle to mix. We struggle even to meet our neighbours and talk to them. You know, there's a strong temptation for us once we get married to feel like, yep, I've got everything that I want. I'm just going to go buy a piece of land and just go out and we'll just live off the land and just do that thing. Now, there's nothing wrong with buying a piece of land, but if you isolate yourself, you've forgotten the greater purposes of God. You're not meant to do life on your own, and there's others that need your ministry and your fellowship and the things that God's doing in your life, hey? And so we need to be active in building good relationship with other believers, hey? Do coffees. I know many of you do, hey? Share a meal. Plan an outing. The Bible says we are members of the body of Christ. And it actually says that we get our nourishment from other parts of the body. If you're not connected to a body of believers, a church, then you are missing out and you're not being nourished. Number four, your relationship with your leaders. I remember a great man of God used to say, all your life, a student and a teacher be. When we're talking about your relationship with your leaders, you know, in your life, there will be some that you will teach, and then there will be some that will teach you. There'll be some who are further ahead than you are along the path of life, whether it's in a profession or whether it's in the church or in anything, you know, whether it's to do with parenting or family, there are some that will have revelation, and it's like you want to receive that. But then there's others who don't have as much revelation, and you need to instruct them, and God gives you an opportunity. Your relationship with your leaders is talking about who are the people that are inputting into your life? And what is your relationship like with those people? Hey, if you want a balanced Christian life, then you need to develop good relationship with your leaders. And I guess in the church setting, that would be with Joy and I. Developing. Pray for us. We need your prayers. Things don't always go easy for us. You know, it's a scriptural principle that the devil understands. If he smites the shepherd, he can scatter the sheep. There are times that we will go through some days and just feel like, man, there's just this heaviness. We become aware that there's a spiritual battle. Look, I don't want you to misunderstand. That doesn't happen very often. Most of the time, we're walking in the peace and the joy of the Lord and in the presence of God. But there are times that opposition comes. And sometimes it's a natural thing and sometimes it's a supernatural thing. Your relationship with your leaders is all about learning from those who are ahead of you spiritually. And that requires humility, hey? 1 Thessalonians, you don't need to turn there, but you can just write it down and you can look this up in your own time. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12 and 13 says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. The Message translation says, and now, friends, we ask you to honor those leaders who work so hard for you, who have been given the responsibility of urging and guiding you along in your obedience. Overwhelm them with appreciation and love. Get along among yourselves, each of you doing your part. To have a balanced Christian life, you need to develop good relationship with those that are imparting into you. Hey. And number five, your relationship with your gifts. This is talking about your talents, your abilities, the things that you've got from God or things that have developed in your life that you can use to bless others or help others. Hey. Like I said before, every one of us has been made for a purpose. Is that right?
Yes.
And a big part of that purpose is to glorify God. And one way you can glorify God is to use your gifts for His glory. Use your abilities. Ross is a handyman. He loves doing that stuff. Man, there's nothing that's more foreign to me. But I admire that. We went over to his place and saw he's done his, he's put a new toilet in and he's tiled all this stuff. Man, it's like to me, I need a master's degree to do that. I wouldn't know where to start. But it looks awesome, eh? I was thinking, like, it looks like The Block, you know, that same sort of style, the deco, wasn't it? Black and white, anyway. But every one of us have got different gifts and abilities, and there's a reason. There are certain things that you will do that you're good at doing, and it just brings you pleasure, and you find it easy. And it can be a blessing to others. Your relationship with your gifts is all about discovering what those things are and then using them for the glory of God. You will not have balance in your life unless you've got this in your life. It's not all about just you and Jesus. That's important, but you've got to get beyond that. And all of these things, can you see how they all bring balance into our life? When we discover the purposes for which God made us and created us, and we begin to fulfill them, then we begin to sense a real sense of fulfillment in our own life. Hey? Now, there's different types of gifts. There are spiritual gifts, and there's also natural gifts. Hey? And we will talk about these further. I'm going to do a series on spiritual gifts, God willing, this year. Hey, not long, probably in a few weeks' time. And so there are 9 supernatural spiritual gifts, and we're going to look at particularly them, but there are other types of spiritual gifts. Some people have a spiritual gift of shepherding. They may never be a pastor, but they'll be like a lay minister. They just find it easy to care and get around people, put their arm around them and just look after them. Then there's other people that have a gift of teaching. They enjoy instructing others. Just they find it easy to do. And they seem to flow in that. Then there's others who are gifted in encouragement. Some are gifted in intercession. There are different types of spiritual gifts. But there's natural gifts as well. Some people are really good with administration. Joy's really good with that. She is number one organizer. Hey, she keeps me organized. She has it all mapped out. And some people have that. It's a natural gift. Hey, some people have a gift of hospitality. Venny's like that. You go to her place, she invites like Joy and I over, and she's got this spread, like 17 people are coming. And it's just Joy and I. It's just like, but it just flows out of her heart. Leadership. Some people have a gift of leadership. Some people have a gift of helps. And so there's different types of natural gifts as well, hey? And every one of us has been endowed with at least one spiritual gift and at least one natural gift. Really, I think that we're endowed with a lot more than that. And so we're going to be looking at some of these things. So certainly this year we're going to look at spiritual gifts and what they are and how we can move in them, because it's time for us. Amen? It's time, you know, like it's meant to be body ministering one to another. And Joy and I have just sensed that there's people here who would like to move in the gifts of the Spirit, but they don't know how to. So we're going to be looking at that and how to move in those gifts. Well, how do we begin to discover some of our gifts? Well, the first thing you need to do is discover your God-given shape for ministry. And I'll explain that in a minute. And discover what spiritual gifts you have, hey? And then begin to use those gifts for God's glory. Well, how do you discover your God-given shape? So we'll go to the next one. Thanks, Andrew. There's questions you can ask yourself, hey, to understand. You have a shape, a distinct shape. It's like a piece of a jigsaw puzzle. And some people are trying to force themselves to fit in one part of the puzzle when they fit somewhere else. And if you begin to ask yourself some of these questions, it'll help you understand what is your shape. So the questions are, well, what has God supernaturally gifted me to do? What am I passionate about and love doing? What natural talents and skills do I have? Where does my personality best suit me to serve? You know, you may have some gifts. For example, there might be 2 people and they're really gifted in sharing their faith. One of them can get up the front and just hold an audience and share effectively, and another one is really gifted at doing one-on-one. It doesn't mean that one's not legitimate and the other one is. Understanding your personality and how God fashioned you will also determine the shape of your gift and where you're going to serve and what spiritual or educational ministry life experiences have you had. Did you notice the first person that was sent to minister to the Gentiles was an expert from the law? Because they needed that validation. They needed to understand, no, God loves you just as much as the pure Hebrews. And what Jesus did, he did for you just as much as he did for the Jews. And he could show them from the Old Testament. His life experiences, his education was all purposely put in place by God so he could discover his gift and begin to use that for the glory of God. So that you can discover your shape of ministry that way. And then how can you discover what spiritual gifts you have? We'll go to the next one. Thanks, Andrew. It's all right. Sorry, mate. I'm destroying this PowerPoint. Hey, you'll never get it. How can you discover your spiritual gifts? Number one, investigate. You know, do some studies. What does the Word have to say about the gifts of the Spirit? Think about it. Do some study. There's lots of literature that's good about spiritual gifts. Ask others that are around you. What do you notice about me? What do you think how can you see me flowing? Do you see anything? And just don't say anything and see. Are they saying things that resonate with what you kind of think? And then experiment. You know, until you turn theory into practice, ideas will remain conceptual. If all it is just a theory, it's just a concept. At some point, you've got to begin to do. I remember Rory Jensen. Now, she's a great apostle of Christ and moves in signs and wonders, moves in the supernatural. And she was telling us one time about how she was going through this phase of just, she was so hungry for more. More of the miraculous, more of the supernatural. And she heard about this revival that had broken out in South America. So she wrote to them, to the leaders of the revival. And she said, can I come? I want to learn. I want to learn and see, you know, I've heard of the hundreds of thousands of people that are coming to Christ and the manifestations of miracles. And she said, can I come? And I just want to learn. And she heard back, to her delight, she heard back and they said, come. So she came and there was a designated driver that was there with her name at the airport, and she came and he drove her to the minister who was spearheading this particular revival in Argentina. And so she came and she sat in his house and they talked, and then he got out a sheet of paper and he gave it to her and had a list of things. He said, I've arranged for your ministry. You're here for 2 weeks, is that right? And she said, yep. And he said, yep, so I've got you booked in for the next 2 weeks to preach in all of these places, you know, like, at least one place every day. And she was horrified. She goes, oh, no, no. She said, look, I'm sorry. Maybe there was a gap in our communication. I've come here to learn. And she said, I didn't come here to preach. And he looked at her puzzled and he said, how are you going to learn if you don't do it? Experimentation. How can you discover what gifts you've got? Begin to experiment. Begin to move out. Are you going to make a mistake? Yeah, you are. If you're looking for perfection every time, you will never, ever get off the launching pad, hey? You will miss it at times, hey? But that's all right. God is merciful, hey? And I usually am. No, we're all learning. Hallelujah. You know, don't be ashamed of your gifts. You may come to discover or you may know of some of your gifts and you might think like, oh, I was a bit like that. I remember early in my ministry when it became more and more obvious that I had a gift to be able to teach. I thought, oh, is that it? Is that my gift? And you know, what I was doing is I was really dishonoring God. Because that's a wonderful gift. I've come to understand that and thank God for it. But I remember there was a period of time there where I belittled my gift. Oh, man, I thought I could be an apostle or something, you know, like teacher. Like, there's teachers everywhere. Everyone teaches. But then I realized, hey, you know what? God, you fashioned me for this. And I find great pleasure and great joy in being able to minister And oh, the revelation that I get, I just open the word and it's like, can't keep up with it. So I've come, don't ever be ashamed of your gifts, hey? God's given them to you for a reason. And you will never find complete fulfillment in your life until this is in balance in your life and you've identified your gifts and you're flowing in them, hey? Hallelujah. So they're the things. They're things that can enable you to have a balanced Christian life. Now, we'll go to the next one. I want you to notice something about these five areas, these five elements. Your relationship with Christ is about worship, isn't it? Your relationship with the world is about evangelism. Your relationship with believers is about fellowship. Your relationship with your leaders is about discipleship. And your relationship with your gifts is all about ministry. Worship, evangelism, fellowship, discipleship, ministry. Do those words ring a bell? Where do they come from? The circle of life. Hey, we'll go to the next one. They are also the five purposes for which our church exists. See, if they can't bring balance, unless our life is out of balance, well, the same as in the church. If we're not practicing these things in the church, then the church is out of balance. Our church needs to be equipping others for evangelism. Our church needs to be engaging with God in worship. Our church needs to be encouraging the people to be fellowship with one another. Our church needs to be training people through discipleship, and our church needs to be equipping others and helping them identify their gifts so that they can launch out into their ministry. Now, in that circle of life, we've kind of come to this place of fellowship, and the next segment is moving from fellowship to discipleship. So you're going to hear more about that too during the course of this year. We're going to be looking at that and moving people there, hey? When we begin to function in balance with these five elements, then our church will be balanced. Just as if we begin to function with these five elements in our own life, there'll be balance in our life, hey? The absence of any one of these things puts us as individuals out of balance, but also puts our church out of balance. We'll go to the next one. Thanks, Andrew. And so worship will cause us to grow stronger. Fellowship will cause us to grow warmer. Discipleship will cause us to grow deeper. Ministry will cause us to grow broader. And evangelism will cause our church to grow larger. So it affects our church and it affects us as individuals as well. Hey, we're going to, you know, like with today in particular, I really had it on my heart, and Joy and I, we talked about it and prayed about it. We wanted to bring attention to evangelism, and we've given out those random acts of kindness cards to encourage you to start stirring yourself up. Think about that. Bring balance into your life and think about how you can be a blessing. Have that on your mind. If you're praying about that all the time, Lord, show me when I can use one of these. If that's constantly something that you're praying about, you will find, you will see, you'll hear from God, hey, and he'll show you, hey, now. Do it now. Here's your opportunity. Hey. Now, there's something else we want to do with regard to these cards as well. And this is for us as a church, not as individuals. We want to engage with the school that we're at and be a blessing to them. And so one of the things that we want to do is there are families who at times are going to struggle to pay their school fees or get books or uniforms for their kids, school shoes. And for some of those families, that can be tough to meet the budget of those things. So we would really love, as our church, to take this up so that we can be a blessing to them. Like, we're going to go and meet with the principal and talk with him and share our heart and just say, listen, if you come across a family that's doing it tough, maybe they need a school uniform, maybe they need some shoes, let us know and we'll pass on the money to you. And we want to give them one of these cards to pass on to the family. Just to let them know, there's a church in their community that cares. Hey. And whether they act on that card or not is not important. What we want to do is just demonstrate we are relevant in the community. And we're looking to be a blessing. Now, there's many other things we want to do. But that's a good start. And what we want to do is we want to set up like an outreach project. It's going to cost money to do that, hey? So we've prayed about it. We've talked about it. We want to set up an outreach project and set a target of $2,000 that we want to raise particularly for that. We want to buy a flat plate barbecue and some barbecue utensils and things that we can use for our sausage sizzles, which is our outreach. But the majority of it, we want it to go, at least to start with the school and engaging them and just demonstrating to them, hey, we appreciate you letting us use the hall, and we want you to know that there's a God who loves you and cares for you. And it doesn't matter whether they understand it or not, hey. As long as we're doing our part, it's the seed that we're sowing, and we can believe God for the harvest, hey. There's a good mate of mine, he's a chaplain at Cleveland High School, and years ago he ministered to a young man at the high school. The guy was in year 9, and he went over to his best mate's house. And they were just hanging out like best mates do. And he was in the bedroom with his best mate. And he had no idea what was about to transpire. His mate had a gun. He had a handgun. And they used to look at it at different times and stuff like that. And before he had any opportunity to do anything, his best mate just said to him goodbye and just blew his head off. And so he watched his best friend take his own life. And as a year 9, you know, you could probably imagine some of the issues that he was now confronted with and began to surface over the next number of months. Thinking like, I was his best friend, but I didn't even know. I didn't even know he had a problem. Why did he do that in front of me? What does that say about me? What does that say about what use am I? What good am I? And there was all sorts of issues, and one of the issues that he had was just like, I'm not fit for anything. I'm not good for anyone because I couldn't even help my best friend. And I remember Neil was ministering to him, and one of the things that Neil said to him, because this guy was kept coming out with this, just saying, nah, you know, like, I don't care. I don't care what people say. I can't be any good. Why didn't my best friend say something? Why didn't I know that there was a problem? And he was basically saying, I don't think there's anybody that cares about me. And so Neil began to minister to him, and Neil said, the fact that I am here shows that there are people that care about you. He said, because I'm only here because people in the community have put money in to pay for a chaplain to be in this school. He said, so I'm representing thousands upon thousands of faces that you've probably never ever seen. But they're saying with one voice, we care. And God cares. And I guess that's what we want to do with this outreach thing. Is we want to somehow communicate through some practical means to start with. There is a God in heaven who cares. And because he cares, we care. And because he loves, we love. And begin to demonstrate that. So you're going to hear us talk about it, but you can pray about it, and if you want to sow into that, our target, what we're believing God for, is to get to $2,000, and then we'll just begin to use that and begin to engage with the school, and then next year we may set another target. We'll see how we go. Right?